Blog Talk Radio.
For so long I was silent. For so long I did not have a song to praise. Pressure filled my day and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me, in me. So still in me. Give up, no. I choose to worship right now. My mind is made up. Is that your voice calling me into that secret place with thee? My heart is longing for this moment with thee.
divide. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I want to welcome you to the Destined for Victory broadcast. God is good and worthy to be praised. There's none like it. And I just am so happy to be called a Christian on today, that Jesus Christ came and lived and died, shed his blood so that I could live. Amen. So I just thank God that it's only through the blood of Christ, it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that I can say that I survived. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the great things that he is doing and it's the great things that he has done. God is not finished. God is still at work. Amen. I just thank God that he is still at work in our lives. Well, I'm excited about tonight. We have an awesome broadcast for tonight. I'm excited about the Destined for Victory broadcast. It is only about a month since we started the broadcast, and already the Lord is using this time mightily, mightily for his glory. We have a special guest on tonight, and she's already here, so I'll be introducing her shortly. I'm going to be opening in prayer, and then I will read her bio, and then I'm going to bring her on the air. I want to say Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone whom I haven't had an opportunity to greet already or in this year. I want to say Happy New Year to you and to let you know that the Lord has revealed to me that this is the year of his favor. This is the year of divine manifestation and supernatural release for the church. So this is the year of the saints. This is the year of the church. Amen. And we are excited about being the church. Amen. God has a great plan for the church, and he is definitely on purpose. God says he knows the plans he has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. So I thank God that he has a plan for me, plan to prosper me and not to harm me, a plan to give me a hope and a future. You should be excited. Is everybody excited about what God is doing? You know, so often we say that God is moving and God is going to move, but I'm telling you that God has already moved on some of your lives. And, you know, the devil's held up some stuff, but like I said earlier, it's a season of supernatural release. So the devil's going to have to let go of everything he has held up. God is releasing his power, and everything that the devil has held up for you is being released during this season. So receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Some of you have been frustrated, but God is saying just go ahead and praise him. Praise him, because this is your season. This is your time, I tell you. And I'm excited about what God is doing. And I see that you hear me. I see there's a praise party going on in the chat room. And so I'm not going to have to ask you if you can hear me. I see that you hear me loud and clear in the chat room. Pastor Sherry Jones says she is excited. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Sherry Jones. God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson. I see my guest, Evangelist Johanna Hewler, in the chat room. And already there's a party going on in the chat room. Amen. There's a praise party going on in the chat room. Don't get me started. I just got off a prayer line with my church. Amen. And we the glory is here. The glory is already here. We prayed for an hour and a half, and straight prayer, no chaser. And God is getting the glory. Amen. So God is here already. Let me go ahead and open in prayer, and then go ahead and read my guest bio. I want to ask you to go on your Facebook pages and tell everybody about the I Feel God Up In Here. I don't know what God's going to do up in here tonight, but I tell you, I feel God up in here. I want to ask you to go to your Facebook pages and let somebody know, and let everybody know about the Destined for Victory broadcast. If you're on my page, you can hit the share button there, and you can hit push share and post it on your page, or you can just go ahead and copy and paste the URL and post it on your web pages. Text somebody, call somebody, let them know, let somebody know that Pastor Rebecca Simmons is on the air with the Destined for Victory broadcast, and her special guest is Evangelist Joanna Holler. So we're excited. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you, and we magnify your name more today. You are worthy to be praised. Lord, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. Lord, I thank you for every woman that has assembled here on today, every man that has assembled here. I thank you for the phone lines, Father God, and those who are already on the phone lines. I thank you for the chat room, oh God, and those who are in the chat room. And Lord, I just thank you for my guest, Evangelist Joanna Holler, oh God. I thank you for her testimony, oh God. I thank you for the words that she's going to speak out of her mouth. I thank you for your anointing, oh God, your Holy Spirit being here, oh God. Thank you for men and women who will tune in and listen to the archives and be set free. Thank you for souls being saved, the lives being changed, the eyes of the blind being opened, oh God, the brokenhearted being healed on tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for what you're doing already with this Destined for Victory broadcast and what you are yet to do, oh God. So, Lord, even as we go forth, we ask that you have your way during this time over these airways, over these internet airways, for each and every person, oh God, that tunes in, for each and every person that calls in, for each and every person in the chat room, Lord, have your way. Let your will be done. And at the end of this time, Lord, even now, I ask that you bless my guest, that you bless her, oh God, and we remove every hindrance, oh God, anything that may try to stop her from going forth, Father God, to say what it is that you have put it in her heart to say for tonight. And Lord, we just thank you that we bind up Satan on tonight, and we loose your power, we loose your supernatural power on this broadcast tonight, and it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, I feel God up in here. I'm going to read my guest bio, and then I'm going to bring her on the air, receive the reading of the bio of my guest on tonight. Born in Germany and of German, French, and Turkish descent, Evangelist Joanna Holler was to become the epitome of an overcomer and picture of a survivor, anointed from the womb and destined to overcome. She endured many years of physical, sexual, mental, and emotional abuse, as well as murder attempts on her life as a child and young adult woman at the hands of her biological family. Hated and rejected by those who should have loved and accepted her, at the tender age of 14, she turned to the only true and living God in search of salvation. It was in Jesus Christ that she first came to know, love, and experience the utter joy that comes from a sincere and committed relationship with him. It was through the deepening of this relationship and the consequent call that was upon her life that Evangelist Joanna experienced total deliverance from her past and found peace in the liberation of forgiveness. At the age of 19, she accepted the call of God that is upon her life as an evangelist and was licensed and released into ministry by her late pastor, Andreas Hastings. Through her calling, God placed a unique anointing to excel in the area of deliverance as it's related to unforgiveness. She served in various capacities in ministry. She served in various capacities in ministry, including children and youth ministries, evangelism team, and pastoral assistant. While working diligently in these areas, she also traveled to Russia, Ukraine, and Poland on mission trips, where she lived with and served the people who were most often looked over and forsaken. She was, to them, a visible and tangible expression of God's love. Loving God deeply, she serves him totally and devotes herself completely to him for the sake of the gospel. As a result of her past and her relationship with Jesus Christ, she is more determined than ever to be a blessing to those who may be struggling with the paralyzing asphyxiation of unforgiveness. Through the preaching and teaching of the gospel, Evangelist Joanna has been commissioned by God to go forth, healing the brokenhearted and unlocking the chains of the captive to the glory and honor of the Lord. Having accepted the unacceptable, Evangelist Johanna now enjoys the impossible. Amazingly, one night while enjoying a concert of the black gospel singers in Germany, she fell into an eternal embrace straight from the heart of God and manifested in the person of her true mother and spiritual mentor, Evangelist Bernice Harley. Her testimony will amaze you. Her ministry will bless you. Staying busy in the work of the Lord, she is in the process of publishing her first book, A Matter of Life and Death, serves on the advisory board of the Diadem Ministries International, is an active team member of A Godly Woman's View with co-pastor Anita C. Spaulding, and is the founder and visionary of Divine Rapha Ministries. My, get ready. The phone lines are lit. The chat room is full. Tell somebody that you don't want to miss what God is getting ready to do here on tonight. Get ready for our guest. Let's give her a round of applause. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, Evangelist Johanna. God bless you, and welcome to the Destined for Victory broadcast.
God bless you. Oh, my goodness. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me, and God bless you, everyone out there.
Amen, amen. Well, the phone lines are lit up. We have quite a few callers, and they're standing by, and the chat room is filling up quickly. I thank God for all that he's doing, all that he's done in it. And it's just a blessing to have you here on the Destined for Victory broadcast. That's my very first guest on this particular broadcast. So God bless you, and welcome.
Wow, what an honor. Well, I'm truly, truly honored to just be the first one to set foot on your online radio broadcast, and I'm just looking forward to having a blessed time in the Lord and just encouraging somebody out there, because people are in need of encouragement and just guidance and help, because too many are being hurt.
Yes, amen. Amen. Well, I certainly agree with that, because, again, I've been doing, I don't know if I mentioned it to you earlier when we were speaking, I've been doing internet radio since about 2003. For a long time, I've been out here on the battlefield with different broadcasts, the Power in the Word with my husband, the Woman to Woman broadcast, which is still aired every Saturday, and now the Destined for Victory broadcast. And the Lord has revealed to me that there are a lot of people out there who are listening, who just are looking for that light, who are looking for that testimony, that word of that testimony and that blood of the Lamb, amen, that anointed testimony that will destroy some yokes off of their lives. And I believe that the Lord is going to use you mightily. I know he's already, as I read your bio, I know the Lord is already using you mightily, and I believe that he's going to use mightily on tonight as we go forth sharing your testimony.
Amen. To God be the glory. And, you know, you're so right when you said people are out there looking for help and looking for that something that is just going to show them the way and give them insight, because what I have found out, well, not only being somebody myself that has been hurt and abused and had been, you know, in search of help and guidance for so long myself, I found out so many are out there that are really looking for that help, but we, the body of Christ, don't offer too many outlets and sources for help for those that are being hurt. Because as I was going through the abuse in my past, I was trying to find help in the church, I was trying to find help from pastors, and just too many didn't even know how to deal with the issue of abuse, how to deal with the victims of various forms of abuse. So the experience was that I myself or those victims have just been brushed off and just been pushed to the side, and then this old mindset would kick in, like what happens behind closed doors should stay behind closed doors anyway. And I'm an advocate for bringing those things that happen behind closed doors into the light, because if what happens behind those closed doors is going to hurt you, then you need to get some help. No matter who's against it, you need to get some help and come out from those doors, from behind those doors. And so that's what I'm standing for and what I'm an advocate for. So I'm just really grateful to have the opportunity to share my testimony throughout the broadcast and, you know, prayerfully enlighten somebody, inspire somebody, and encourage someone.
Yes, exactly. Now I'm hearing some background noise. Are you on a cell phone or?
Yes, I'm on a cell phone. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Okay, because I'm hearing a little bit of background. I don't know if you're moving around or
no, I'm actually sitting still at the moment. I'm sorry.
Okay, so that might be my phone. Sometimes I get feedback off of my phone, but I hear you. How about in the chat room? Can everybody hear it clearly? I believe they have, because they are already talking about what you were saying. So we're going to just go ahead and move forward, because they're already talking about what you were saying about not finding help in the church. And, you know, you said something very significant. You said that basically when you were going through, and we don't want to jump ahead because I do want you to share your testimony, but you said when you were going through your time of abuse that there was nowhere that you could go to find help, even in the church, that they didn't know what to do and how to deal with the abuse.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Overall, I have found a few common issues what keeps the church from dealing with the issue of abuse and the victims. And some of the areas are that, first of all, the traditional thinking, too many are still somewhere stuck back in the time that, like I said, what happens behind closed doors should stay there. Then we have those leaders and churches that just don't know how to deal with it, and rather than educating themselves, they just remain ignorant and brush it off as well. And then we have, unfortunately, those leaders and people in churches that abuse the flock and can't deal with it because they're the ones abusing the flock. Individuals. So those are three of the main things that I have found out. And it's really time to get, you know, be delivered within the body of Christ, because the sad thing is that the world is very educated on the matters of abuse. The world has all these counseling programs and different organizations and everything else where they offer that outlet, which can be helpful to a certain extent. But if you don't offer people Christ while you counsel them, and if you don't teach the people that only true healing comes through Christ and the blood of the Lamb, what do you give them? Then that help and that encouragement and that inspiration that you give them will only be temporal.
Yeah.
So we as the body of Christ and as the church need to step up and allow the people and the victims to come forth, allow them to scream out and share their pain so they can find healing and deliverance and forgiveness and freedom. That's the only way to live the abundant life, but we hold people back in trying to keep them bound up in the pain and past.
Yes, you know, and that's just so very true. I was speaking with my friend, Pastor Sherry Jones, a couple of weeks ago on the broadcast, and she mentioned something very similar to what you're saying, you know, that you need somebody to walk this out with you, you know, somebody in the church to actually walk it through, walk through your healing with you, because if not, then healing is it continues to escape us. So why don't we talk a little bit about, I want to talk a lot actually about your testimony. I was reading your bio, and it says that you suffer physical, emotional, mental abuse, and more at the hands of your biological family. So why don't you share with me where this all began for you as far as this journey of being an overcomer and a survivor?
Yes. Actually, my journey started at birth. It sounds very unbelievable to many people, but I have actually been rejected by my mother, by my biological mother, from birth. The history about that is that up until about a month before she gave birth, she thought she was expecting one child, which was supposed to be a boy. And 1 month before the delivery, they found out at a checkup that she was actually carrying twins. And so when she gave birth, my brother was born, I was born. She loved my brother, but she hated me. I don't know, somehow I guess I didn't fit into the picture of what she expected at the time. And I know now that there have been even deeper issues, that she must have been a victim of abuse, herself, and oftentimes we carry those things on. But that's probably something we get into it more a little later. So having been rejected by her, I have been actually the victim of the first murder attempt on my life at only 6 months old. She tried to stab me through my belly button with a screwdriver. And somehow, at the last minute, she changed her mind, and she rushed me to the hospital. She came up with some kind of crazy story, what happened, how I got injured, and the hospital had to perform an emergency surgery to save my life. And those kind of things just carried on as I was, getting older. Well, what means older? Just, 3-4 years old, my memory actually goes very far back. I remember how she would cuddle with my brother, would hold him, would kiss him. And when I would come and, when children just lay their head on their parents' lap or shoulder, when I would come and do those things, she would just push me away and say, "Get away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you." And so actually a turning point in all of this, now I could not even remember up until that point that she showed ever any kind of love toward me and nurturing attention. But at the age of 5, my twin brother got very sick and he passed away.
My.
The day he died, she came into the room that I was sitting in, and she pulled me out and she started hitting me in the face, and she said, "I hate you, I hate you. I wish it would have been you that died and not your brother. I hate you." And it seemed like that moment was the turning point, that her dislike just seemed to have really turned into hatred for me. Somehow the rejection that she has for me and her feelings toward me were joined by several others in the family, meaning my grandparents, which were her parents, some of my uncles and aunts, and then those that did not join in just silently watched and didn't do anything about it. So as I would just, get older, the abuse and the mental abuse and emotional abuse would just intensify. And at the age of 6 and a half, she married another man. By the way, I'm sorry, I should mention that I don't even know my father. I've never met him. When we were born, he wasn't around. He never came around. And to this day, I've never met my father. I don't know who he is, where he is, what he does, none of that. So at the age of 6, she got married to one of the many men she was seeing at the time, and he became my stepfather. Another brother was also born in that time frame, whom she actually rejected as well, which I found very strange. Well, this stepfather, at the beginning of their marriage, in the first 2 or 3 months, he was very attentive to me and the other brother that had been born. But then suddenly his attentiveness changed. My mother was the working force in the house. We would be left with him quite often alone. And suddenly he would start coming in the rooms and he would just start beating us. My brother and I, we could be sitting there playing, and he would just simply start beating us for no reason. And beat us so severe that we would have concussions and different other injuries. She knew about it. Sometimes we had to go to the hospital to get checked out, and all, you know, they always came up with stories of cover-ups and lies. And about a half a year after that, there was yet another turning point in the abuse. He started sexually abusing me. He came in the room. He sent my brother out. He had a piece of rope with him, and he told me to get undressed. And which, of course, I was not willing to do at the time, but I was a child. I started crying, and he started pulling out a knife and threatening me that if I would not do as he asked, he would kill me. So I got undressed, and he tied me to a chair with the rope, and he started molesting me. And that was only the first time that happened, and I didn't know at the time that this was going to be something that would go on for the next few years. So I was only 6. And it would carry on until I was 17. He called it the game. It was something that he came up with, and he was quite inventive with his game. He came up with various different things, whether it was just, you know, of course, touching me in inappropriate ways, forcing me to touch him, taking pictures of me in various positions and all undressed. And, of course, always threatening me every single time, having this knife and having it held to my throat and threatening me if I would ever tell anybody, he would kill me. I believe that my mother was aware of all those things but never did anything about it. He eventually involved my brother in the molestation and into the sexual abuse as well. And so it was quite horrendous. He also came up with various things to just simply torture us, things such as taking us in the middle of the night when everything is pitch black into the woods, into the forest, because where we were living, we were just surrounded by woods. And he would take my brother and myself and just would put us out into the forest and just go away. So you can imagine two children, maybe ranging the age of 7 and 5, standing in the middle of the forest in the middle of the night. And he would be somewhere nearby and make all these different sounds and noises to scare us half to death. Like, just to give an example of some of the things he would do. And, of course, the beatings, like I said, would continue as well. And actually, the abuse in that household with my mother was carrying on until I was 14. When I was 14, there was, before I proceed, I also accepted Christ at the age of 14. I was blessed to be invited to a Christian summer camp by another girl in school. And I was surprised, but my mother allowed me actually to go, and I accepted Christ there because the youth pastors that were there, they were really just driving the fact how much Jesus loves us and how he gave his life for us. And love was truly a foreign word for me. I've never experienced love until that point because, like I was saying earlier, my mother never expressed love to me, and neither did anybody else. My grandparents, neither one of them. So it was really foreign. So it was something that I really caught interest in because it was something I yearned for so much. And I eventually gave my life to the Lord during the 9 days of this summer camp. So as I came back, of course, my first thing was beginning to pray that God would make my family love me, accept me, and stop the abuse. He didn't stop the abuse at that time. He didn't make my family love me, but something did change at that time when I was 14. There was suddenly a knock at the door, and I actually was the one opening the door, and the lady was standing in front of the door, and she said that she was from Child Protective Services, and she was here to talk to my mother. So a neighbor actually became aware that something was not right in our household. Something was going on, and she called them, and I believe that that was the answer to that prayer at the time, even though the answer didn't come in the way I expected it. So Child Protective Services took my brother and myself out of my mother's home, and they placed us into the care of the state for a little while. And We were in the care of the state maybe for 3 weeks when my grandparents came, my mother's parents, and they said that they wanted to, they would love to take both of us in. Unfortunately, they can only take one, and they decided to take the girl, which was me, and leave my brother behind. I was very saddened that my brother was being left behind, but I thought that my grandparents must have had a change of heart and mind and suddenly want me. So the day that my grandparents brought me home, my grandmother set me down and she said, listen, let me lay down the law for you. We didn't pick you because we suddenly love you, and she made sure she put a lot of emphasis on that. We didn't pick you because we want you like that. We picked you because you're a girl, and you're going to have 2 weeks to learn and see how I run this household, and after 2 weeks, you're going to take over. Don't think anything has changed. So pretty much I went from one situation into the next. Of course, I was devastated. I was heartbroken, and I couldn't even understand why God would allow this to happen. I just accepted Christ into my life, and the youth pastor was talking about this love that God has for us, and, why would this happen now? So just to kind of shorten the last portion of my testimony, in my grandparents' household, I started going through various forms of abuse there. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My grandmother was a workaholic. So I was yet again in another situation where the woman, my grandmother, was the working force in the house. My grandfather was an early retiree. They were actually still very young grandparents at the time. So I was left alone with him a lot. So while I was being left alone with him, and in his drunken state, he would start becoming abusive toward me. He began to molest me. He began to beat me and be emotionally abusive, verbally abusive. Now, my grandmother herself was never physically abusive toward me, but she was definitely verbally and emotionally abusive. So that situation went on from the age of 14 until the age of 17. So I went from one abuse situation into the next.
Yeah.
And during that time, I also tried to take my life 6 times. And I did have Christ in my life, but yet I wanted to take my life on various occasions because the thing was I had Christ, but I was yet going through the abuse, through the pain, and had no help, no outlet, no counseling or anything that could help me through this stage in my life. And all these times that I tried to take my life, God still kept me, not only from my family, but even from my own self. So the times I chose death for myself, he still chose life for me in the midst of the circumstances. And I couldn't understand it because I wanted it to be over because the enemy had me believing that the hell that's going to await me, and I was totally aware of the fact that hell was awaiting me if I take my own life, but he had me believing that hell couldn't be any worse than the hell that I'm already going through.
Wow.
And that is the thing. That is what happens oftentimes, even to Christians that go through abuse, that suicide thoughts become a daily thing for them when they don't have that outlet and that counseling and that guidance and help. So this was it for me. Now, at the age of 17, because I was living with my grandparents and this was overseen by the state, we had to go through two yearly visits, or actually visits 2 times a year with my caseworker. Of course, I was being prepped for those visits. I was being prepped what to say, what not to say. And, of course, which seemed to be the norm with everyone, I was threatened that if I don't do as I was asked, that I would be killed yet again. And but at the age of 17, I had reached such a state of desperation and hopelessness that I didn't even care anymore what was going to happen to me. So when we went to that meeting with my caseworker and she asked me if everything was okay, and of course my grandmother was also present in that meeting, when she would ask if everything was okay and if I, you know, I'm happy, I'm still treated right, I just didn't answer at all. And I could really feel the eyes of my grandmother just burning through me, like, are you going to answer anytime now? And I was just silent. And the caseworker, she realized that something was not right. So she sent my grandmother outside, and she asked me again, is everything okay? Are they treating you all right? Are you happy? Is everything going all right? And I couldn't answer, but I just simply shook my head no, and tears started streaming down my face. And so she actually sent my grandmother home, and she talked to me, and I opened up very little, just enough for her to say that I don't have to go back there. And I was yet again placed into the care of the state and into a group home for just a little while, but things didn't go too well there because I was a very aggressive teenager. I have grown up to be very aggressive and violent, even in school and in interactions with others, because violence is all I knew. That was the response to me to everything, and I also had the mindset and mentality that I will get to you before you get to me. So if you make me feel threatened before you can hurt me, I will hurt you. And so I got into a fight with a girl in the group home. I actually ended up breaking her nose. And I know I don't really seem like that anymore. Those of you that are listening, I know this might sound a little strange to you all right now. But, yes, I did break her nose. And following that, I actually entered a petition into the courts to get my own apartment at the age of 17, which was granted to me. Now you would think I'm out of my family's way. They don't have to bother with me anymore, and I don't have to bother with them pretty much, and they didn't want me anyway. I can start living my life. But no, it was not so. I did get my own apartment, but my family didn't give up. Somehow they had this idiotic idea and mindset that I myself and also my brother, who was still in the care of the state all these years, that we did not have the right of happiness and freedom and a life of happiness. So now, yet again, a change happened. Now they started with various forms of assault and harassment. Whenever they would see me in the street, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just stop you right there, just pause, because this testimony is just riveting. It's so powerful as to what the journey was that the Lord took you through, from even being in your mother's womb to her finding out that she was pregnant with not one baby but two, and then her wanting to kill you at the age of 6 months old with a screwdriver through your stomach, and then going on throughout your life to being abused, sexually molested at the age of 7, and all the way up to 17, you know, 7 to 14, and then 14 to 17, in a different household. As we listen to your testimony, and as those in the chat room are listening to your testimony, God is already getting the glory, because you're still here, and you're here to tell this testimony, and it sounds to me like you're in your right mind. So when you said that the caseworker came and said you didn't have to go back, I was sitting here like, praise the Lord, you know, hallelujah, like finally someone stepped in and took you out of that situation. And as I'm praising God, you know, for your victory and all of that, it seems that the saga continues. Because, I'm going to let you go ahead and pick up. I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room, the Spaldings, all of the guests, and everybody else who has tuned in. You're listening to the Destined for Victory broadcast. My guest is Evangelist Johanna Hohler, and she is giving a powerful, powerful testimony, and we're going to take some calls because I do see the phone lines are lit up, so that some of you can speak to her. But I wanted to just take this pause to have you all just hear what this woman of God is testifying to. It seemed like she was destined for doom, destined for death, destined for destruction since birth, since she was in the mother's womb. But God had another plan. He had another plan for you. And, you know, I'm about to run around my office here because I'm so excited that even though it was not something good, all of these things that happened to you, you're more than a conqueror. And
yes.
I want to hear how the story ends, so I'm just going to give you back the floor.
Amen. Well, at that time, picking up from the harassments that started and the assaults in the streets and seeking me out in various places on my way to school, on my way to work, turned another page, so to speak, and I call it really turning a page because it is something that I encountered in my life and that helped form and shape me in the end into the woman that I am now. Now also murder attempts on my life started again. My uncle would try to run me over with a car. My mother was trying to stab me on a couple of occasions. Then she tried to blind me. She threw acid into my eyes on two different occasions, trying to burn my eyes out. But God had it always fixed when she did it that I had water nearby. I could just kind of rinse my eyes out before I rushed to the hospital, and I was treated there. And the hospital, even the doctors were in such amazement that my eyes were still clear. I could still see my eyes, my skin, nothing was burned.
Jesus.
God again had his hands on me, on my eyes, physically. Now, since they had not been successful in their attempts to kill me, they started hiring hitmen.
Wow.
I had a gun held to my head on three different occasions by hitmen that my family hired, that my uncle hired to kill me. Actually, every single time, God yet again intervened. The first time, I was walking down the streets trying to get me something to eat, and it was a smooth pavement. Nothing was on the street, no rocks, no unevenness, nothing. And I started hearing these guys behind me, these two men. They were arguing with one another. And suddenly, a gunshot goes off. And the moment this shot was being fired, I tripped. And the next thing I know, this bullet was flying right past my head into the pharmacy window ahead of me. And so God actually tripped me up to save my life at the time, and come to find out that these two men that were acting as though they were arguing with one another were actually just staging the arguments to have a reason, I guess, to fire that gun. And so God kept me there. And then at another occasion, this man came out of nowhere, and he started dragging me by my arm into a area where no people were around, and he held this gun to my head, and he said, "What you gonna do? What you gonna do?" And he was just yelling, and I said, "What can I do?" I just looked at him, and for a moment I had great fear, but then I kind of put this fear aside, and he said, "So what you going to do if I fire this gun?" And I said, "Well, I know what will happen if you fire this gun. I will go to heaven, but what will happen to you? What will happen to you if you fire this gun? So I will be with Jesus. Where will you be?" And he looked at me, and suddenly he took the gun away from my head, and he just ran off.
Jesus.
And the
Hallelujah.
Third time, yet again, God kept me. So those murder attempts on my life, God kept me continuously. Now, people may wonder, what happened? Did I not ever call the police whatsoever? Yes, I did. I called the police every single time my life was being threatened, every single time I was being assaulted. Now, I didn't call the police before I moved out of my grandparents' house or out of the group home that I was in. I only started to call and contact the police later on as I was by myself, which was actually encouraged by my mother. Now, not my biological mother, but the mother that God blessed me with and that was mentioned in my bio, because God eventually, and I will get into that in a little bit as well, because it's an important part. But so I started calling the police, and they came, they took reports, but it seemed like nothing was being done. And I can say that throughout my entire childhood and teenage years and early adulthood, the system really failed me and failed my brother. Now, as I just mentioned, my brother, actually all the murder attempts on my life, he was also going through the same. They were trying to run him over with a car. They were trying to kill him. And I'm very heartbroken to say that they were successful. They did kill my brother. He was only 17 years old. And at the time when it happened, which is now 9 years ago, it was a hit and run at the time. But last year, a witness came forth that witnessed the accident and identified the driver as my uncle, and come to find out that they saw the witness and they threatened the witness that if she would ever come forth, they would kill her. So for 8 years, she was scared to death to testify about what happened. But last year, she said she couldn't take it anymore. She can't live on like this anymore. And she came forth and she told what happened. And this year, I'm getting a little confused because I'm forgetting that we are in 2012. The witness came forth in 2010. So in 2011, the trial went on in July, and my uncle was found guilty and was sentenced to 25 years in prison.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
My God.
So that is a victory after all. But so, yes, as I was mentioning, my mother, now, through all this time, I kept praying, God, you know, make my family love me, because I still believe that even as I was getting older, that God could make my family love me. And it seemed like the older I became, the more I yearned for this love and nurturing, especially from a mother. And it just kept growing, and the pain of that just kept deepening. So as I prayed one of the times again, God said that I will never have that relationship with my biological mother, and I will never have that relationship with my biological family. And I couldn't understand that, and I began to get a little angry at God, like, how could you even say that? And God said, I just need you to accept the unacceptable here. And I said, no, I can't. This is unacceptable, and I will not. And it seemed like I started a battle with God. And he just kept saying, I just kept hearing in my spirit, in my mind, in my heart, accept the unacceptable. Eventually, I surrendered, and I said, okay, God, listen, if I accept the unacceptable, then I need you to do the impossible. And the impossible to me was to have a family and to have somebody that loves me. Besides God, of course, I know God loved me, but God created us in such a way that we do need that love and attention from other people. And that's what I told him. I said, God, this is how you created us human beings. If we didn't need one another, and if we didn't need love and affection from one another in some kind of way, there would have been no need to create Eve. So we as human beings, we need others as well. So I told him that. I said, okay, I will accept the unacceptable, but I trust you for the impossible. So shortly after that, 2 months later, and mind you, as you were reading in my bio, I was born and raised in Germany, so all this still took place in Germany. 2 months later, I went to a concert of a American gospel group that was touring through Germany, singing the gospel, actually the African-American kind of gospel. And I went to this concert, and I was blessed to meet one of the singers at this concert. Actually, God kept speaking to me, go and speak to this woman. And I said, go and speak to this woman. I don't even know her. And speak to her about what? But throughout the whole concert, God kept my eyes focused on this woman. one of the singers, and he kept saying, go and speak to her, until eventually I said, okay, if it is your will for me to speak to her, make it happen, make it possible, because I don't know how, what, stop the concert because I need to speak to somebody? I mean, so God, make it happen somehow. And so actually at the end of the concert, they were saying that they're going to sit in the back and sign autographs and speak with people, pray with people, et cetera. So God said, there it is. And as I went in the back, made my way, and I stood in front of this lady, I had no courage to say anything but thank you for coming here and blessing us. Now, in the meantime, I feel the urge, say more, but I just didn't know what to say. So I left out of the building, and God said, you were disobedient. Go back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I went back inside and I saw this lady again, I just didn't know what to say. So I just pulled out a tiny little piece of paper, and I wrote my name on it, and I said, just remember me in prayer. And I folded it up, and I gave it to her. And I thought she would read it sometime later, but no, she unfolded it and read it right then and there. And she came out from this behind this table. I mean, she actually ran out from behind the table. And before I knew it, she stood in front of me with open arms and embraced me. And as soon as she embraced me, I went into a flood of tears. And she started praying into my ear. And she prayed for exactly the things that were going on in my heart at that time. And as she was finished with the prayer, she said, is there anything you want to talk about? And me being the coward I was at the time, I said, no. So I left. I went home. And as soon as I entered my apartment, God said, yet again, you were disobedient. And I repented, and I said, okay, God, I don't understand this, but if it is still your will for me to speak to this woman, give me another chance and opportunity. And to kind of make a long story short, 2 weeks later, I was in a completely different town, an hour away from where I was living and where the concert was. I had a doctor's appointment because I had a heart condition at the time, which the Lord healed me from now. I had to go to monthly checkups, and on my way back, I was passing by this church, which had a big poster that the choir with this lady was singing there that day. So God said, there it is. Here's your chance. So I went in, yes, and I waited. And when they arrived, her and I had a chance to sit down. I actually shared with her what happened 2 weeks ago, and we talked. And so we started stay in communication while she was on tour in Germany. She was still there for 2 more months. And actually, throughout that time, I never really shared anything with her about my family, about my abuse, my pain, or anything. But God was dealing with her at the time. And as it got closer to her time in Germany, she said that God just told her to take me as her own. And that from this day on, whether it's something I accept or not, I would be her daughter and she would be my mother. So that's how that journey began. But it took for me to accept the unacceptable in order to receive the impossible. And that is oftentimes the case with us in life.
Yeah, what a mighty God. Pastor Sherry Jones in the chat room says, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. That is this. I'm at a loss for words, which is very rare for me. To just see the manifestation of God's hand on your life through everything that you've had to go through, even as you were telling me about your family, and they wanted to, once you were on your own, you thought that would be the end, but now they want to kill you. What in the world was going on with your family, and where did this uncle come from? It seems like he came out of nowhere because abuse was not at his hands previously, right?
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, where did he, why was there such a vendetta that they would actually go out and hire hitmen to come against your life? And then after we talk about that, I want to know how can you still be talking to me today, and you gave this whole testimony, and I didn't hear any anger, any animosity, I didn't hear any of that. So one, even when you talked about your brother who was killed, talk to me about your uncle. Why, and your family, why was there such a vendetta against your life and against your brother's life? And where did you find your, how are you so delivered? How are you so at peace? You know, what
yes.
is going on with you today? And then we'll talk some more about your mother, because I think that's a powerful part of the testimony as well.
Yes. Okay. My uncle actually, because I was kind of trying to get the main things in with my testimony. Of course, I didn't get to go into all the details, but if you remember in the beginning, I was sharing that the rejection and hatred that my mother carried for me and my brother was joined in by some of the other family members. Now, why? I don't know. The thing is that senseless things happen all over the world every day. People kill people for no reason. People rape people, you know, men rape women, women rape men as well. Children are being molested, and sometimes there is just no reason. Now, in the case of my family, I don't quite understand it myself, but I can say that over the past couple of years, and even still now, God is giving me a certain spiritual insight to certain things, which does sort of explain the why to me in a way, because that's the question I asked myself for years. Why did all this happen? Why did my family feel this way? And the thing is that I had to realize that there have been certain generational curses going on in my biological family. Now, my grandmother herself was a very bitter woman. My grandfather was a very angry man, and I've never seen them share a lot of affections with their children, which is my mother and my uncles. Now, my mother was the only girl surrounded by five boys. Now, I've never seen really affection shared there, any loving words. Now, they weren't at odds with one another, but they weren't very affectionate either. Something that God showed me later on was that my grandfather had to have done the same thing to her that he did to me, and meaning the molestation and abuse to a certain degree, because I could see not, once I received my own deliverance and healing and reflected back on some of the things, I could see signs of that in my biological mother. She, and we know that oftentimes victims of abuse turn into abusers themselves oftentimes if they don't find healing. So I believe that to some degree that played a role. And then now the part of my uncle coming back to that, hatred is a poison that spreads very fast. People grab hold of that very easily and more quickly than they grab hold of love. And so here you have a group of people, my mother, my grandparents, and a couple of other people who are on this hateful mission to just keep two children from being happy and living life freely. And oftentimes that hatred just spreads. And I believe that's how actually two of my uncles got involved with it. I'm not even sure if he or they really understood why themselves to some extent, or if it was a matter of we have to support our family, our sister. I don't know. I really don't understand. But I do know that like I said, certain generational curses were going on, and then just the fact of hatred being so contagious. And I also believe that the hatred for my brother and myself had a lot to do as well with my father. My mother just hated my father. But then yet again, she loved my twin brother. So I'm not quite sure. Certain things I still don't make sense of myself now, but I've learned to be at peace.
Right, exactly. And we have someone in the chat room, Kimmy Poo in the chat room, and she wants to know was your mother abused? And you answered that question before I could ask it, that the Lord revealed to you that her grandfather had probably abused her. And then the question is, were you and your brother born from your mother's abuse?
that no one spoke of, you know. And in other words, is there a possibility that your grandfather was your dad, your father?
No, that I don't believe that that was the case. Now, with my brother, the second brother, because we have to make sure that our listeners understand the difference here, I had a twin brother who died at the age of 5 because he got very sick. And then another brother was born from a relationship with another man that she had who was rejected. Now, I do know, even though she was married to that other man, that this was a very abusive relationship. Now, actually, here yet again, we have the case of abuse. He was physically abusive toward my mother. He beat her, so we have domestic violence here, which could actually be the reason why she may have this brother, my brother, because he was the son of this man that would be domestic violence toward her.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, with your mother, she didn't want a girl because she had been abused, and maybe she had a fear that the same thing would happen to her daughter so that she wouldn't be able to protect.
And it's quite interesting you're saying that right now, because just a few days ago, because as I was just saying, certain things the Lord revealed to me a couple of years ago, but still now, 3 days ago I was sitting here, And just go, I don't know, the Lord had me reflect on some things. And that very thought that you just mentioned crossed my mind. That maybe that had to do with it, because I was a girl and the things that she went through. And I know for a fact that my mother doesn't love herself. And that she doesn't have any care for herself. And I do believe that carried over on me, that she sort of, in a way, saw herself in me.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were a reminder. You were a reminder of her pain that she couldn't, you know, she had never dealt with. And so she took it out on you, of course. And then I don't know what the story was with the brother, but I tell you, God is just so awesome because he kept you through all of that. You know, he kept you, he didn't keep you in your right mind through the whole thing, because like you said, you were depressed and you were suicidal and you did want to die and you thought your life was a living hell. So, you know, you tried to take your life. And here now, and other people tried to kill you, but the devil was trying to kill you, but he couldn't kill you. And that's just so powerful. It's just a powerful testimony. Help us out here, though, because there are a lot of people who are listening. And we're going to open up the phone lines. If you want to speak with my guest or myself, you can begin to call in. The number is 646-652-4832. And you can call in and push 1 to raise your hand if you want to speak. I see someone has been waiting since we started, so I'm going to actually take that call in a few minutes. But I want you to help us out, because so many people have been through so much of what you were talking about, and your story involves physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, so many forms of abuse all wrapped up in one individual's life. How did you get to the point where you can sit and talk about all of this with no animosity in your heart, with no hatred towards the people that that played roles in this saga, this experience in your life? How did you get here to this point?
Well, actually, I have to say this, of course, was not always the case, that I could be just sharing this with such peace in my heart. I was a very bitter and hate penetrated individual as a child, which just grew into my teenage years and early adulthood. I started trying to figure out, how can I kill my stepfather who abused me? How can I kill my grandfather? So those things were just really in me. But what actually
me was, first of all, when God blessed me with the true mother he already had waiting for me and my new family, and my mother sort of became a mentor to me, not only through her nurturing, but also spiritual mentorship. She tried to get me to a place of healing the best way she could through encouragement, guidance, through the word, etc. And, of course, it had become my daily prayer, Lord, heal me from those things and from the pain and the anger. Now, the healing process, I have to say, and this is for anybody that is listening right now that has gone through some things or is going through it right now, the healing process is not a thing that happens overnight. It's a step-by-step journey. And as we go through this journey, God, of course, we know through his word, God is the mender of broken hearts. And, you know, he started doing that. He started mending my heart through his word, but also through other people that he began to place into my life. But then I had reached a point where I thought I was healed, where I thought I overcame, and where I thought I got rid of the anger and the bitterness that I was carrying in my heart. But I had to find out differently, because every time something would come up that would remind me of the abuse of my biological mother, of other family members, I would either begin to cry again, I would either begin to be angry again, and I realized that I could not be really healed, that if this keeps happening, if I still keep crying, if I still keep being angry every time I think about it, every time I see something on TV that reminds me of it, every time somebody says something about abuse or asks me about my family. So I went back to the Lord, and I said, God, I want to move on with my life. I want to be all that you require of me to be. And I know that in order for that to happen, I have to be fully healed. And I thought I was. So what is it that is keeping me from being fully healed? And he said, forgiveness. And I said, forgiveness? I said, well, I am forgiven by your son, by Jesus. And it was, and he made clear it was not that kind of forgiveness. I had to forgive my perpetrator in order to be fully healed. And I thought he was kidding. I mean, like, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I thought I did forgive. And I had to realize that I did not, because that's why I was, you know, continuing to be angry. So I began to, you know, really seek God on how do I reach this place of forgiveness in my life, forgiveness for those people that have brought me so much pain. And my mistake was, and I believe that is the mistake of many of us, is that we kind of wait on forgiveness to be some kind of supernatural feeling that just comes over us. But that's not what it is. It's not some kind of feeling that suddenly comes over you. Forgiveness is a conscious choice that we have to make in our mind, in our heart, and in our spirit. It's the conscious choice of saying, I'm letting go of this, I'm releasing this in order to move on. Ultimately, it's the choice to let go of death and grab hold of life. So that day when God gave me that revelation, I chose to release the anger, the pain, and the bitterness, and I chose to release and forgive my family, because I had to realize that that forgiveness is going to be the key to my healing, and that the unforgiveness that I carried still in my heart gave my family still power over me. Now, at that time, now, as I'm speaking about the forgiveness part, I was already here in America. Now, I was not around my family anymore. I was not in danger anymore. But that unforgiveness and bitterness I carried still gave my family power that they didn't even know they had to control my life to a certain extent, because they still controlled my emotions through that. They still controlled my thinking through that. And I had to release that. So I made the choice to forgive. And once I forgave, God said, now call your mother, my biological mother in this case. And I really thought, this is it. Wait a minute. Now, aren't you asking a little bit too much of me here? And I can only be honest. This is really how I was talking at the time. I said, God, you really have to be kidding me. Like, call her for what? Isn't it enough that I forgave? And now, don't get me wrong, that does not mean just because God told me to call my mother that he's going to tell everybody you need to get in touch with the person that hurt you. This is just how he dealt with me. Now, I was finally obedient, and I called my mother. And she answered the phone, and I said, hello, it's me. She recognized my voice, and she said, what do you want? And I said, listen, I only need a couple of minutes of your time. I just need to say something to you. And she said, what could you have possibly to say to me? And I said, listen, I really just need this 1 or 2 minutes. And she went silent, and I said, I just want to let you know that anything and everything you have done to me, I forgive you.
Whoa.
I have forgiven you, and you shall be forgiven from this day on. And she said, who cares? Nobody needs your forgiveness. And I said, that's okay, because it's not even for you anyway. It's not for you. It's for me. I said, and let me tell you, I said, you don't ever have to find me in this world to say that I'm sorry. Just know that you're already forgiven. But I do pray that you will seek the Lord and seek forgiveness for not only the things you've done to me, but the things in your life in general, and come to Christ. And she said, is this it? I said, yes, this is all I wanted to say. And she just hung up the phone on me. Now, after that, I said, okay, this is it. Chapter closed. I'm finished. I'm released. But God said, no, call your grandmother.
Call
I'm like, wait a minute here. Like, really? And I didn't fight as much the second time around as I did the first time. And I called my grandmother, and I pretty much told her the same thing that I told my mother. My grandmother responded in the same way that my mother did, pretty much. And that was it. God didn't tell me to get in touch with anybody else. I'm not sure why my mother and grandmother were the key persons that I had to call and not anybody else. But I was obedient to it. And this was really what completed the healing process in me and what helped me to overcome the bitterness and the anger. So unforgiveness is the key to healing and freedom in every way. I mean, I'm sorry, forgiveness is the key to healing and freedom in every way. Yes, forgiveness. And I just want to say for the listeners right now, forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation, because some people do think that, okay, if I forgive this person, does that mean I have to suddenly be able to sit at a table with them and talk with them and whatnot? No, sometimes reconciliation is not possible for various reasons. And whether it's the reason because you want to stay protected and safe, whether it's because the person may have already passed on and is deceased, you know, there are various reasons for that. So forgiveness does not mean always reconciliation, but it does mean setting yourself free and letting go of the past, the anger, releasing it, and being finally able to live the abundant life that God has for you.
Amen, 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 my sister. That's it. And you said something everything you said was powerful. But the last thing that you said, forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. Just because God is telling you to forgive somebody does not mean he's telling you to go back and be in relationship with that person. And a lot of the time we think that that's what forgiveness is. It means that this person, even in an abusive relationship sometimes, this person punched me in my nose. They said, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to forgive them. I forgive them. And that means I'm supposed to go back and let them punch me in my nose again, be back in relationship with them. But we have to hear God. One thing that I've noticed throughout your whole testimony is that God has played a very crucial part in all of this, you know, from the age of 14 until now. Yeah. The Lord has been leading you. You've been hearing God, maybe not every step of the way, but along the way, you've been hearing God. And so you forgave. You forgave your mother, your grandmother, and all of the people that have hurt you.
how did you you got saved at 14, and when did you come into relationship with God? When you actually had an active relationship with Him, and and how important was that to your deliverance?
Okay, well, actually, as I was sharing, I did accept Christ when I was 14. Now, I was actually able to grow some kind of relationship with God already at that time, because I did begin going to church, actually the church that was hosting this Christian summer camp. Even though I may not have been a regular churchgoer at that time, if you will, if I can word it like that, because of my situation, you know, I was not always allowed to go out and do certain things. But I did start reading the Bible they gave me. So actually, a lot of the relationship that, or the growth of the relationship with God in my first year came more so through reading the Word, because I was not always able to go to church. Of course, then later on, as I got a little older and was already in my grandparents' house, I was able to go to church a little more frequent. And, well, to an extent, I'm ashamed about what I'm about to say now. I did have to kind of come up with some excuses at times and lies, if you will, to go to church. And I did ask for forgiveness. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I want to go to church. I want to hear the word, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of had to come up with some excuses sometimes why I had to leave the house, or why I was out longer after school or something than other times. But, you know, I'm not advising anybody to lie, but that was just something that I thought was the only way for me at the time, which I repented of. But I was able to go to church a little more frequent then. And so my relationship, you know, was growing in Him. But still, the main thing, the main growth came through His Word. I found a lot of comfort in His Word. And God started, began to speak to me early on just through His Word, speaking to me personally. So the growth just came from that. And as I was growing in Him, I found more and more strength to hold on through this abusive situation. Even though I did get weak from time to time, that's why the suicide attempts did come in and the depression. But I do believe that the growth in Him and His Word is what still kept me through all of this. I was in a very broken state, and I was in a very sane state at times. But I say that it could have been worse if it did, you know, wasn't for His Word and comfort. It would have been worse. And I don't believe that I would still be here, because I do believe that I would have, you know, still taken another attempt to take my life. And, yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, I can't say God would have kept me again, or He wouldn't. You know, I don't know. But the last time, and I just want to share this briefly, I tried to take my life. I was 16. And that was really the thing where God gave me a piece of hope out of this situation, that one day, even though I didn't know when, it was going to change. I was, it was doing a family function. This was another thing. Whenever things were going on in the house, family gatherings, et cetera, I had to sit in the kitchen by myself while everyone was in the dining room having fun, talking, laughing. So it was doing one of those gatherings again where I was in the kitchen by myself. Hopelessness just overtook me once again. And I began to be so depressed and heartbroken again that I wasn't part of this family who was sitting in this other room just laughing and having a good time. And I left the house. No one even noticed I left. And I began to walk, and I was crying as I was walking, and I said, this is it. I'm going to take my life. I can't take this anymore. And again, I was aware of the fact that I would go to hell, but I just believed that the hell that was awaiting me couldn't be any worse than this. And I was trying to figure out, how am I going to take my life? Because 5 times I survived,
and I didn't want to survive again. So how am I going to do this? The pills didn't work. Trying to cut myself didn't work. Trying to drown myself didn't work. So what is going to work? And I didn't realize how far I had walked while I was just trying to figure out how I'm going to take my life until I looked up and this bridge was ahead of me. And I said, okay, this is it. I'm going to jump off of this bridge, and this is it. It's over. And I walked up the bridge, and the bridge was actually hovering over a valley, and it went down really far. And I said, yeah, this is it. I'm not going to survive. As a matter of fact, by the time I reach the ground, there will not be much left of me. And so I climbed over the security railing, and I was standing there just holding myself with my hands on the security railing behind me, and I looked down into the valley, and the devil's face appeared. It's like I just saw this demon-like face, and just motioning with the hand to come. And I let go of the security railing, and I leaned forward to fall. But suddenly, as I leaned forward, I felt these two hands on my shoulders holding me back. And I thought, okay, somebody must have seen me and ran over and hold me back. And so as I turned around, nobody was standing there, but I still felt those hands. And I kept leaning further forward. And the more I leaned forward, the more the grip on my shoulders tightened. And I finally realized that God himself held me back. Yet again, while I was choosing life, choosing death, he chose life. So God himself came and held me back. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name, God.
Help
me back. And I couldn't understand why did he hold me back, but I climbed back over the security railing, and I just fell on my knees, and I cried, and I boo-hooed, and I said, God, why are you keeping me? And God said, because of purpose. And I said, what purpose? There is no purpose in my life. There is no purpose for me. All there is for me is pain and hopelessness and desperation and death. There is no purpose for me. And God said, no, there is purpose. I have kept you and set you aside while you were still in your mother's womb. And all I need you to do is hold on just a little longer. Just hold on a little longer. And I thought I couldn't hold on any longer. But then just the fact that God held me back while I wanted to jump, it seemed like it changed something in my heart and mind. And I said, okay, God, I don't see how, I don't see when, I don't see why, and I can't even see change coming. But I said, okay, just help me to hold on. And that's when a year later, I accepted the unacceptable, and I met my mother.
Yes, my God, hallelujah. Purpose. God said there was purpose, and that brought tears to my eyes. I'm sitting here crying as I think about the goodness of God and his mercy and his grace, and how the devil just always wanted to kill you, and God had purpose, and he kept you, and the devil could not beat God. You know, God fought for your life, your whole life, and I thank God for you, and I thank God for your testimony that so many yokes are being destroyed off of the lives of people, even now, as they listen to your testimony and those who will listen to the archives. Go ahead, sister. Somebody's out there and they're hopeless. Help us, help that sister, help that brother who feels like there's no hope.
Well, let me tell you, dear sister and brother, there is always hope, because, first of all, God will never give up on you, even when people have given up on you and you have given up on yourself. The thing is that I have to come to realize, and that I want to encourage you with, that as long as you grab hold of Christ and of that hope in Christ, there is always the opportunity and possibility of change, which will be guaranteed. No matter what your situation is, no matter who is rejecting you right now, no matter who is abusing you, and beating you, and whatever the case might be, it might be rejection on the job, in your family, from friends, no matter what it is, just know that God loves you so much, and He is the restorer of those that have been brokenhearted and beat down. And just give Him the chance and opportunity to restore your heart and your mind and soul and spirit. Because it happened to me, it was possible for me, and it is possible for you. But you have to want to grab hold of that thing.
Yes. Yes. Grab a hold of God's unchanging hand. He did so much for you. I thought my testimony was something. And as I hear your testimony, I see that God didn't take me down. It was light stuff, and it's definitely not considered to be light, but compared to what the Lord has sustained you through. And I think about that, and I'm like, we always think that we've gone through so much, but the reason that the Bible talks about we win them over by our testimony and the blood of the Lamb is because there is always somebody out there who has a story that will just knock your socks off. You think you're going through something, but when you hear, you know, when we hear your story, Evangelist Joanna, when we hear about your life and what God has brought you through, it gives us hope, you know, to keep on keeping on. And I just pray, and I know that somebody out there that was feeling hopeless before they heard you are now feeling filled with hope, that if God could do it for you, if He could do what He did for you, then He can do what He can do it for them. He's no respecter of persons. God has a purpose for everybody who's listening. God has a purpose for your life. And He, just like He saved this woman's life, there was purpose for her pain. And I just thank God for you. And I don't know what else the Lord, what else does the Lord, does the Lord want to say tonight? The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. I'm speaking with Evangelist Joanna Holder. I probably have butchered her name a few times. But what else does the Lord want to say? Just go ahead and let the Lord use you, because I know He's speaking to somebody tonight.
Amen. I just want to, I just feel led and compelled to go a little further into the part of the forgiveness, because I do know that many that are listening right now have been gone through things and are just being pain struck and filled with bitterness in some way and unforgiveness and are just desperate for their healing. Just let me tell you that you cannot expect any change or real growth in your life until you forgive and let go. It's imperative for your healing. It's the essential part to make it on that journey to deliverance and freedom and healing. And I know that you have been violated at one time or another, but you have to make that decision and to let go, because the past pain can affect you for the rest of your life, and it can cause you to sit down and wallow in pity and ultimately want to take your life just like I did. It's the choice that you have to make, and it's never too late to make the right choice. You may have been holding on to the unforgiveness for so long, but it's never too late to make that right choice. That old life and the old relationship and the old place is no longer a part of you once you accept the Christ. So since it's no longer a part of you, you have to release it. Do not live in the past. Forgive and move on, because God has an abundant life for you. And now there is somebody listening that thinks that they're not worth the abundant life. Let me tell you, the devil is a liar. You are worth it. People may make you believe that you're not worth the love. You're not even worth salvation. But you are worth it, because God laid down His life just for you. So you can be free, set free through His blood, and so you can live the life of freedom and happiness. And I know that it's not always easy to forgive, especially when you have gone through horrendous things in your life. But that is the good news. You don't have to suffer for the rest of your life, because God is the restorer of everything that you have lost. If you have lost your childhood to somebody, you have lost your happiness to somebody, you have lost your heart to somebody, God can restore those things if you believe Him and His word. Choose to forgive, choose to let go, choose today to break loose from the stronghold and pain of bitterness, because it's a stronghold. And we have been given all the tools and the power and authority to pull down every stronghold in our life. So choose to let go of that that part in your life and choose to live right now, today. You can do it. You can make it.
Amen. Amen. Choose to live. That is just so key. And thank you, Pastor Sherry Jones, for praying. She's praying for clarity on the radio and the computer line so that people can hear what the Lord is saying. And one thing that's so important for us is that we forgive. And I heard you say earlier that forgiveness is a choice, because it's I'm telling you, I've been there. It's not easy to forgive somebody who you trusted, who has mishandled you, who has molested you, who has raped you, who has assaulted you, abused you, rejected you. It's not easy. It is not easy to forgive, but God is not asking us to do something that's easy. He knows that it's not easy. He knows that without him, it's not even possible. It's impossible without him. But I just thank God that when we make the choice, and you said forgiveness is a choice, when we make the choice to forgive, he steps in supernaturally, and he does the work. He gives us the miracle of forgiveness. And
yes,
that miracle, you know, Evangelist Johanna, that miracle of forgiveness is it seals the healing in our hearts. It's a huge part of the healing process from the pain of our past. You know, that's what the devil doesn't want us to get to. He doesn't want us to get to that part where we forgive the people who have hurt us, because as long as we are unforgiving, as long as we have hatred in our hearts, as long as we have bitterness in our hearts, then we are in bondage. We are in bondage. So to God be the glory, because you have destroyed the yoke up in here tonight.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Again, a lot of people are on the phone line. The chat room is full, but people are listening. I believe deliverance. I know deliverance is taking place on this broadcast on tonight. I know that people are being delivered, because there are people out there who have been molested. There are people out there listening who have been abused. There are people who have been rejected. There are people out there whose mama and daddy didn't want them, and who didn't even know who their daddy was, perhaps. So many people who are hurting out there in internet land, who are listening tonight on by phone or by internet, and the Lord has used you mightily, and he is using you mightily to minister. You talked about the fact that the Lord gave you another mother. My God, you know, when your own earthly mother and father failed you, your heavenly father manifested another earthly mother to step in and nurture you through the pain, through the healing process. And I'm just praising God, because God is able, whatever is happening in your life, he's able to step in and fill every missing, every void. God fills every void in our lives, and I just thank God. I just thank God for you. And everybody in the chat room, Pastor Sherry Jones said, we stand in agreement. Kimmy Poole says, amen. And Pastor Sherry Jones in the chat room says that forgiveness is the medicine to open the weeping wounds. And I believe that is so true, that when we allow ourselves to be naked and not ashamed with God, when we open up our hearts and say, Lord, I can't. I'm seeing right now you standing over that bridge. My God, I'm seeing you at this final attempt at suicide, and you're looking down at that bridge where you've been drawn by the devil. How can I do this? And the devil say, come over here, and you're drawn by the devil. You get to that bridge, and you look down, and you see the devil's face, and you see him beckoning you to jump, to come. And as you got ready to go over the guardrail, you felt the hands of God holding you back. You thought some person had interceded, but it was God himself who stopped you from jumping over that bridge, which surely would have ended in your death. But God stepped in and said, no, purpose interceded. God interceded and said, no, I have a plan. I yet have a plan for your life, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to use you for my glory. So, powerful. That is just, what a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What an awesome God. You were meant to die. This stuff should have killed you a long time ago. You should have died a long time ago. But God kept you through everything, through it all. And I just praise God for you. I praise God for your testimony. Jesus, God blocked it. Yeah, that's it, Pastor Sherry. God blocked it. The devil tried to kill you, but God blocked it. God said no. And I'm telling you, that's just so powerful. Well, I'm going to, the phone lines have been open, 646-652-4832. If anybody wants to, in this last 20 minutes, because once the calls start coming in, they come in, and but if you want to call and speak with my guest or speak with me, call in. Let us know how this testimony has touched your heart. If you need prayer, call in, and I'm going to ask Evangelist Johanna to pray with you. I'll pray with you. We'll pray with you if you need prayer. Don't leave here broken, busted, and disgusted. Don't leave here discouraged. Don't leave here. If you have a praise, if you have a comment, you can call in. They're already commenting in the chat room. Cynthia Robinson says it's a wonderful testimony, and I agree with that. Wonderful testimony. So many of you are already on the phone line that I won't put you on the air unless you push one, and we do have a caller already on the line. I believe this is Sister Tina Lane. Amen. It looks like her phone number. You're on the air. God bless you. Welcome to the Destined for Victory broadcast.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca and Evangelist Johanna. My God, this was such a powerful testimony, a powerful show today. And when you spoke, Evangelist Johanna, about forgiveness, oh my God, that touched me, because I can relate to that, forgiving, and not when you forgive and you go through that healing process and you forgive the people who have hurt you, whether it's your family, your friends, your workplace, whatever, you no longer give them that power over you anymore. The forgiveness is a choice. The forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. But it was just so powerful when you talked about forgiveness. I wanted to thank you today for coming on this show and just spreading the word and just spreading the gospel and sharing your testimony, like Pastor Rebecca said, with so much love. Like, your testimony, you could not, I was shocked at what I heard. I've heard you gave me some of your testimony before, but although I was shocked and like, I couldn't get angry, because you don't hear the anger in your voice. You praise, like, you can hear the praise of God. Like, you're saying, like, Lord, yes, I went through this, but God, I praise you anyway, anyhow, because of where I am today. Look what you gave me, my mother, today, Lord Jesus. So I cannot be angry with your testimony. I can just praise God. God, look at you again. This is a miracle. This is what you're showing us again. So no matter what anyone's going through, look at this miracle on the phone today, what he had to share, the love she had for God, all she had gone through, she still had the love for the Lord. Even through her doubting at one point, God still showed his love, and he showed his presence in her life. And now she's just spreading the word so others and people can hear and know the presence of how God's word in their life, the presence of God in their life can just move mountains that's been there blocking them. So I praise God for you tonight because it was so powerful. Praise God.
Yes. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. And I thank you for the words of encouragement right now as well, because when I hear things like that, you know, things that you just shared, it encourages me because it lets me know that my purpose is being fulfilled now. That was one of the things that while I was still going through the abuse, I said, God, one day, I don't know how and I don't know when, I want to be able to use all those evil things and hurtful things that happened in my life to your glory. And this is that one day. This is the day. And God has set me free and has set me on a mission now to fulfill that purpose to help somebody else, because I'm totally aware that those things that happened wasn't even about me, don't have anything to do with me, but offered a greater testimony that came out of it. So I praise God and give him all the glory.
Amen. Jesus. Amen. Amen. And as I was listening to you just now, the Lord was showing me Genesis. I believe it would be the last chapter where Joseph's brothers came back to him after Jacob had died, and they were afraid that he was going to come and try to retaliate because of what they had done. And he said, no, don't be afraid, he said, because first he said, am I in the place of God, you know, that I could do anything? But then he said, don't be afraid, he said, because what you meant for evil, God has already turned it around for good, to save many nations alive, to save much people alive. And that is what I'm reminded of, that you have the grace of Joseph on your life. Pastor Sherry Jones has talked about grace in the chat room. And I'm reminded that you have the grace of Joseph, the Joseph anointing, where your testimony is going to save many people alive. Many people, many lives are going to be saved. Many people who are suicidal are going to be snatched from the pit of hell, going to be snatched from the hands of Satan. You were literally snatched from the hands of Satan, and they're going to be snatched from the hands of Satan and turned around and able to forgive and be released from bondage and be healed from the pain of their past. And your book is going to be powerful. I haven't seen your book, but I know that your book is going to be a mighty instrument that the Lord is going to use. So as soon as your book is out, I want you to come back and be a guest again on the broadcast so we can talk about the book and have people go out and buy the book. But the book is going to be used to open many doors for you, evangelist, where the Lord is going to take you to many places. I see you at women's conferences. I see you speaking at men's conferences. I see you speaking to people, huge crowds of people, and people are being delivered. I see people being delivered from your testimony. God saved you to save many people alive. He saved you to save many, many lives. There are many lives. Starting here, I know you're a blessing to co-pastor Anita Spaulding at Ark of Safety, and I know God is using you mightily wherever you are. I believe I met you at Pastor Padilla's church, and I know the Lord is using you mightily wherever he sends you, and he used you mightily tonight. So I want you to know, woman of God, tonight, that God has already propelled you into purpose. And the devil will try to frustrate you, because as long as God is using you, the devil is going to try to come against you to stop you, to shut you up and to shut you down. But I thank God that there's a resiliency in you. There's something that God put on the inside of you that will not die. So I know that you are one who will stand and continue to speak and declare that God is able, and God is a healer and he's a deliverer. And I just thank God for you. You at the beginning, there's a prophecy and that your book will be, Kimmy Pooh says your book is going to be a number one bestseller. So we're looking forward. We declare it and decree it. And if I can help in anything, just let me know. I believe the Lord is launching you. God is launching you, and he's going to use you mightily. He's already using you mightily, but it's just the beginning. I just see you at the, on the launch pad. I see you on the launch pad, and it's just the beginning. So to God be the glory for the great things that he is doing. When is your book coming out?
It is my prayer to, actually not only prayer, but I'm striving to publish it around the summertime. I actually just had finished writing it and going through the final stages of getting it ready for publishing, et cetera. So prayerfully, if everything goes as expected, it will be around the later part of summer.
Okay. Okay, and I'm going to say this too. Any questions that you have in the publishing process, just give me a call or shoot me a message, and I'll be able to help you through that process, because I have published, you know, some books myself.
Okay.
And I know you have help with Co-Pastor Spaulding, because she's a powerful woman of God, and she has two books out. So, you know, you have some people that have published books and know how to get the book in print. So that's
thank
not
you so much.
That's
I do appreciate the support.
Amen. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. While the anointing's still high, not too many people. We do have 10 minutes left. I believe healing is still taking place, and I'm going to ask you to pray. I want to
Amen.
Say thank you to everybody who tuned in tonight. Wow, the prophecy's going forth. I want to say this to you. I don't know if you're still in the chat room, but I'm going to say this because I want to declare it, because I believe when we declare a thing, that it shall be established. When we decree a thing, it shall be established. And Pastor Sherry Jones says that you have words of hope for people coming out of human trafficking. There's so much that God is speaking. Human trafficking, people who have been molested, people who have been abused, people who are have been hurt in any kind of way, men and women. Don't think this is just for. Don't think that this is just for women. See, that's the mistake I made with my ministry, thinking it was just for women. But your brother, his life is going to be vindicated through your ministry.
Actually, may I share something briefly?
Yes.
As you're saying, not just for women, for a lot. Actually, the Lord already revealed that in a very unique way. For a long time, I did think it was just for women, but about a year and a half ago, I received an entry in my guest book on my website. And the person wrote that, you know, thanking me for a powerful ministry, and that they did have a question, and if there was a way of just contacting me privately. Make a long story short, I got into a conversation with this individual who ended up being a man, and
wow.
He was saying that this, my testimony, the portion of what he had heard from another radio show that I was on, had made such an impact on him, but he had a question. He said he was just, I was just, you know, talking to the victim, but what does one do if he is the abuser? How do you forgive yourself? And I was really just thrown on a loop for a moment, like, wait a minute. No, I'm supposed to talk to the victim, so you may need to send the victim to me. I didn't say that, but I was thinking that until God just kind of brought me back, and I was able to just speak to the person and minister to the person. And he went back on my website later on and left a powerful testimony on there saying that my ministry of forgiveness
you know, healing and forgiveness, what I've overcome, helped him to not only forgive himself, but seek forgiveness from the victim and be able to be set free from the bondage of unforgiveness toward himself, but also the guilt that was hanging over him. So I do receive what you said, because I know God showed me that through that incident, and it was truly a powerful incident that occurred, because it really showed me that the ministry that God has planted inside of me is still so much bigger than I see right now.
Yeah, because you know what? I just also saw abusers stopping abusing, you know, because the focus of my ministry here, Destined for Victory, is to stop molestation.
Yes.
And I just saw that forgiveness, because a lot of molesters were molested, and that forgiveness, what you just shared about that abuser and him receiving forgiveness and actually going back to ask for forgiveness, that forgiveness released him from the bondage, but it's going to release also a lot of people who are molesters from the sin of molesting, It's going to help to stop molestation, is what I'm saying. The ministry that the Lord has for you is also going to stop molestation, because that forgiveness, the way that God has you, the anointing that he has on you, when you minister that forgiveness piece, it's so powerful. It is just so powerful. And many are going to be set free. I tell you, you have to come back, because you just opened up something right there about the abuser and ministering to the abuser, because nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have some more time, I'm going to have you back so that we can talk some more. And, yes, now give us your website, Evangelist Johanna, so that we can, anybody that wants to get in touch with you or contact you, maybe they didn't want to do it openly, but if they want to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Okay, well, you can get in touch with me, of course, via Facebook. You can look me up, Johanna Hüller. I will show up in the search box, but you can also email me if you would like to just reach out privately, as Pastor Simmons said, and my email is johannahüller@gmail.com, and then also my website is www.divinerafaministries.com. And I will type it in the chat window as well, so people can get the proper spelling to get to these various locations. And I do most certainly look forward to you contacting me. Please don't hesitate, because that's why I am here, to lend an ear if an ear is needed, if you want to release, if you have questions, if you still want to go back to parts of the testimony, want to know a little more, you can just contact me and reach out. I do look forward to hearing from you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I do have to have you come back for part two, because 2 hours was not enough for us to even cover everything. So we only have a few minutes. I just want to ask you to just pray. I want to thank everybody in the chat room for being with us. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. You're listening to the Destined for Victory broadcast. My guest is Evangelist Johanna Hüller, and she is a powerful woman of God. She put her information in the chat room where you can get in touch with her. For those of you listening through the archives, you can check out her website at www.divinerafaministries.com. That's divinerafaministries.com. And you can get in touch with her also on Facebook. Listen to the archives. If you just tuned in, you can go back and listen to the archives, blogtalkradio.com/power. And put this on your pages. Tell somebody about this broadcast. so that they can be blessed as well. Some of you in the chat room, she'll probably still be praying as we go into the as we go off the stream. But know that God loves you, and there is a way out. If you want to hear the prayer, you can call 646-652-4832, and you'll be able to hear out through the end of the broadcast. Evangelist Joanna, I'm just going to ask you to go ahead and pray us out. Just pray. Pray for women everywhere. Pray for men everywhere. Pray that the Lord be with you.
Father God, I come to you, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you, God, that you are Jehovah Rapha, God who heals. Lord, and I'm coming to before you right now and just seeking healing, God, seeking freedom, seeking liberty in you for those out there that are being hurt, that are brokenhearted, that are bound and in bondage and under the stronghold of unforgiveness, men, women, children. God, we just ask you to bind the hold of the enemy on the lives of the souls that are listening right now, but also those that we don't even know about, may never know about, God, because you are a God of love, a God of healing, a God of freedom, God, and we come against the attacks of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, because you came to heal the brokenhearted, Lord. I ask you right now to just penetrate the heart and souls and minds of those that have given up. Penetrate their hearts with your love and with your strength and with your hope, so they may know that this is not the end, God, because with you there is always hope, God. You have just so much in store for your people, God. And right now we ask you that you just will birth your plans and purposes into the lives of those that have been just broken by the hands of others, Lord, because they are worth it. They are worth it. They are worth the love and the plans and the life that you have stored for them, Lord. And I thank you that you have a plan for each and every one, Lord, that none is left out, God. I thank you, Lord. Father, the enemy is so busy. We come right now against the thought of suicide, the spirit of suicide.
Yes.
We come against the spirit of depression. We come against the spirit of unforgiveness in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And we ask you to replace those areas in their life with your love, with your freedom, with your peace, with your joy, God. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to
Thank
your name.
Jesus.
Glory
hallelujah.
To your name.
Mm.
Hallelujah. And I just hear God saying, shake loose. Shake loose from the bondage and hindrances of this world. Shake loose. God is saying,
Jesus.
Come and drink of me. I am more than enough. Cast off the heavy weights of this world. Cast off the bondages. Spread your wings and fly. God is
Hallelujah.
Saying, enter into a quiet place with me. I am the Lord who loves his children, and I desire them to be free, to soar like eagles with no restraints and hindrances. Just flow in my love and walk in my promises, says the Lord. My word is a sword that cuts through every bondage and every pain and every spirit that is not of me. Eat of my manna and receive of me and shake loose. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
These
Hallelujah.
Are the days I am moving forth to set my people free. Walk in my promises, stand on my word, and do not be shaken. Rejoice in me and go and share my peace and my love with others, with those that are thirsty and that are dry and bound by the things of this world. Shake off the fears and shake off every hindrance and renew your walk in me. Victory is yours because I am your rock, I am your fortress, and I am your deliverer, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
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 This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord,
thank
for those souls that are being restored right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for the life that is being restored. We thank you for the attack of the enemy that has been destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. And
yes,
we give
Lord.
You the glory. We give you the
Hallelujah.
Honor because you alone are worthy in Jesus'
yes, Lord.
Name. Amen, amen,
amen.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, powerful. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Whoa, my God, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory for the great things he has done on tonight. I tell you, we're going to go down with that prayer. I believe the Lord has filled it with that prayer. I want to thank everybody who's still on the phone lines, those that didn't raise their hands, but they're still with us. And I just want to say thank you. For those who didn't know how to raise their hand, you just had to push one, and you would be on the air. So if somebody's on the line and you have something urgent, something burning, that you want to say, you can just push one, and you'll be on the air. Amen. If not, we'll go down from this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I believe they were just listening. Evangelist Johanna, what a blessing you have been to hear your testimony. I'm so sorry. And I say this not because I feel sorry for you, but I'm sorry that you had to go through everything that you had to go through in your life, but I yet praise God, hallelujah, that you made it, that you made it through, that you're still here, that you're still praising God, that you're still loving folk and loving Jesus and giving God the glory. So I'm praising God for that. You are certainly a testimony of his greatness and his glory and his and what he's possible, what he's able to do. So I thank God for you. Again, don't be a stranger. You can call it anytime. I'm here every Tuesday night. You don't have to be a slotted guest to call in anytime, but I do want to have you come back as a guest, because I believe the Lord would have more to say to you. Let's look at maybe a couple months from now, a few months from now, 3 months between now and summer, because the second time you come back will be March, and the third time you come back, your book will be released, and we'll be able to just continue to let people know about that upcoming book. So God bless you.
God bless
you. I'm going to be obedient. Yeah, we can stay all night, but I'm going to be obedient and end at this time, because I am consecrating, and the Lord is dealing with me on rest. So I'm going to be obedient, but I thank you for being with me, Sister Lane, Tina Lane. I thank you for being with us and calling in and speaking on the air, and for connecting us, because you connected me.
Thank you.
You connected us with each other. And you were the one who introduced me to Evangelist Johanna. So I'm just so happy for this divine connection. And I know it's just the beginning.
Yes.
It's just the beginning. And to those who are still listening and those who are listening in the archive, know that God has a great plan for your life. And if you would receive Jesus, if you haven't already, you can do it now. Just listening to this archive, you don't need to be in a church. But you can receive Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior simply by saying, God, I need you. Lord, I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus came and lived and died so that my sins could be forgiven. And I receive that forgiveness on today. Lord, I thank you for the forgiveness on today. And I ask that you come into my heart and take up residence in my heart. Live with me and walk with me and guide me through life. And I receive you into my life today. I receive Jesus into my life today. I ask that you baptize me with the Holy Ghost. And I receive it on today. I receive that baptism on today in Jesus' name. And if you pray that prayer in Jesus' name, if I went too fast, rewind it a little bit. But pray it even on your computer. Pray it right there where you are. Then God will save you, and he'll come into your life, and he'll change you, and he'll protect you. And email us, either myself. Email me, powerintheword1@yahoo.com, and say, I got saved. Or if you want to talk to me about the testimony that you heard tonight, Or if you want to be a guest, email me or email Evangelist Johanna. Did you give your email address, right? If you would give it one more time.
My email address is johannahula@gmail.com. That is johannahoehler@gmail.com.
Amen. Amen. So email one of us and say, I got saved tonight. I heard that testimony and I received Jesus into my life tonight. And where do I go from here? Because you need to be guided as to what the next step is. But just make the step. Amen. And Tina, God bless you.
God bless you. Yes, and Pastor Rebecca Simmons, thank you so much for having me in this opportunity. I'm so grateful because that has shown me that you connected with the God in me, even though you didn't know me, but through Sister Tina, you connected with the God in me and the vision and have given me the opportunity to further share my testimony and impact somebody else, and I'm grateful. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You're welcome. To God be the glory, because I did connect with the God in you when I met you that night. It was brief, but I knew you were a woman of God. And then when Tina told me about you again, I knew it was already a yes, because God was getting the glory. See, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. I see the doors. They're swinging open. It's just the beginning. So you just prepare. You're already prepared. God has been preparing you for a season, and now it's the time of release. So to God be the glory for the great things that he is doing. There are many that will be set free. I said it earlier, and the Lord just wants me to reiterate that there are many that will be set free through your testimony, even through these archives. Last year, I was just so blessed that the over 13,000, almost 14,000 listeners, and I was like, God, thank you,
God, because you never know.
Yeah, and I'm like, God, to God be the glory, you know, and I'm like, God, you are doing this, and it's because God, there's a need for the sons and daughters to stand up and give God the glory. The whole earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, the true sons and daughters, and you are a true daughter. And it's time for us to stand up. And as we stand up and we declare what God has done and who God is and offer him to others, then God can truly get the glory and we can take back his church. It's time to take back the church. And it's time to advance the kingdom. So to God be the glory. And it's just the beginning. You're one of the people that God is using in this season. You're one of the people that he has handpicked. You're one of the people that he has protected. Yet while you were in your mother's womb, where it was because God chose you, your parents had nothing to do with your being birthed, other than the fact that they were the vessels they used to birth you out through. But God chose you, and he had his hand on you, and he still does. And nobody can, no weapon formed against you can prosper, because God's purpose is yet to be unveiled. There's nothing that can happen to you to harm you, because God has divine purpose on your life. So we already know that, and I'm just so grateful. So I look forward to hearing from you. And, you know, God bless you, my sister. God bless you. Stay in touch, okay?
God bless. Absolutely.
Amen. So God bless you. And we're going to go off the air. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. And I thank you all for tuning in. Tell somebody about the Destined for Victory broadcast. Post this on your pages and let people know that God has to continually get the glory, because he is able to bring you out of whatever it is that you're going through, because there's nobody greater. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.
Yeah.
Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley. Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. Body great, body greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Search all over.
Search all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody great.
Nobody greater than you.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Than you.
Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody.